Good morning. Item number one.
From the County Executive requesting support of the concepts and objectives outlined in the Mental Health Initiative and directing the Interim Director, Department of Health and Human Services, to develop a report describing the details of a pilot project creating a model for a managed care system with small facilities located in the community.
Good morning, Mr. County Executive.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning. Yeah.
I just want to share with you that as I give my presentation, at the end of it, I'd appreciate if you have any questions that you ask me at that particular time so I can kind of go through it and try to stay in on a timely basis. And I do appreciate you guys getting up early in the morning, allowing me to do this. Thank you very much. Overall, the goals of Mental Health Initiative is to improve the care of patients through collaboration with the community, establish partnership with area healthcare providers, establish mechanism that will bring more funding into mental health system. Background. Initially, it's based on several years of analysis and community input. Recent efforts include public policy form study, the county audit report, the sheriff's safety report, work on various committees, health and human needs committee, behavioral health advisory council, Milwaukee mental health task force, Milwaukee health care partnership, community advisory board. All of this is part of this initiative and this plan. And initially also include 211 adopted budget. My initiative, you can look on attachment page 2, Vision of Milwaukee County Mental Health System, community-based small-scale facilities, treatment tailored to patient needs, managed care program, capitated payment, pay-for-performance model. Roughly based on a GAMP model, incentive to recover, emphasize on wellness and community support, decrease hospitalization, visits to crisis service, and emergency detention. 16 mental health facilities, or 16 beds of mental health facilities, overseen by county, but could be privatized and developed and operated. First action pilot project or program to determine how many facilities are needed to determine the cost, as well as I could say that with this model will determine what size of mental health facility we may build or not build. It's up to whatever the committee comes up with. The next step, community board support of concepts of objectives in mental health redesign. DHHS will develop a report describing details of the pilot project. DHS will develop a request for proposal to solicit bids. County board staff develop a fiscal analysis. That's with Jerry Hare getting involved in developing fiscal analysis on how we can build and do things. The group will review BHD operations and direct their efforts into implementing the mental health initiatives. Summary recap. 5 key concepts that support my mental health initiatives. Strengthen public and private partnership. Pursue alternatives to institutionalization. Increase access to crisis services. Emphasize community-based services and leverage federal funds to increase services. And that is it from a conceptual perspective. Basically, what I have done is took all of the concepts and what people have viewed upon and utilized my health background to come up with a model that is pretty much somewhat like an HMO concept. The HMO concept would allow a person to take an entity to provide services. The services would be capitated. It'll be capitated so that we can keep control over the cost. For example, out of the 16-unit bed, we'll probably capitate 14, so we make sure that those individuals are able to provide services and keep their staff ratio balance. Because if they're not getting the money, what will happen is the staff ratio will start deteriorating. So what we'll do is make sure that they keep a capitation that they'll be able to keep their staff ratio apart, as well as the additional money that they might receive would be, let's say, for example, capitation at 14, and the additional is maximum is at 16. The other thing is that what we'll do is we'll bring the ITT in the middle of all this. The ITT will take and bill for all of the 16 units. That way, from an HMO concept, when we take and bill, let's say, for example, out of the 16 unit, let's say, for example, the cost is, you know, $60 per patient. It'll be far more than that, but I'm just going to use that as an example. What we will be doing is billing at $90 per patient. The additional money that we bill will be money that we'll utilize for administrative costs as well as for mental health people who don't have a payer source. So on this particular concept, no mental health person will be left alone. There will always be some resource to be able to pay or help him or her out, and we'll do that by the controlling the billing costs through our ITT. The model would be public sector as well as private sector, so that what we'll do is be able to do a comparative analysis on whether a private sector is doing a good job or public sector is doing a good job. We'll have a team that will visit all of the 16-unit bed. It'll be made up of a psychiatrist, psychologist, social worker, nurse practitioner, and a peer counselor as well. So we're going to make sure that whoever get the RFP, that we will go in there, whether it's a hospital base, whether it's a private base, we'll go in there to make sure that our clients are being taken care of properly. And we'll be reviewing all the clients to make sure that they're taken care of properly, so that if we happen to see a person not responding well, we automatically will beam in on that person, check that person out, check his meds out, and try to make sure that he's done right, and also share with that entity that we need or want them to monitor and make sure that person is doing right. Conceptually, that's it. Jerry, if you'd like to add, and you can ask any questions you want. Jerry, you'd like to add?
I think a couple things. I think the other attachment as well that talks about a patient-centered, recovery-oriented continuum of care also is very important in terms of looking at the key principles that the county exec mentioned. And many of those things build upon several of the initiatives that are also included in the budget. One being the leveraging of federal funding acknowledges and looks at ways in which we can pursue 1915I. We have a responsibility to come back and report to Health and Human Needs about a plan to implement that. That certainly, I think, can be is an opportunity for many of the consumers, but also it can leverage federal dollars. As we look at the pursuit of alternatives to institutionalization, there's also an initiative in the budget which looks at a plan that could either downsize or close Hilltop and come back with a plan. So I think that fits in nicely. That's, you know, also one of the priorities. And then strengthening public-private partnerships, that is something we wanted to continue to do in relationship to continue to working and building strong foundations with the hospitals as well as community-based agencies. And then the last area with reference to increased access to crisis and community mental health outpatient services, that also is contained as an amendment in the budget, which asks the department to study the feasibility of establishing a crisis resource center on the north side and also look at other crisis alternatives. So I think those concepts as well also, you know, kind of play into the overall vision because they were parts of the budget and they were priorities that the department was going to continue to look at as we move forward.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you to both of you. Thank you for your vision, and definitely, Chairman, I've known you, or County Executive, I know you as a chairman for a while with all of your experience in healthcare, so this fits right in with your vision. Question I have, I think it's more for Ms. Lyday. I guess I'm confused about the next step. So the next step is you would come back to this committee with a report on what the pilot program would look like. And then I guess the second follow-up to the pilot program is the pilot would begin with just one 16-bed facility, or I guess I don't – that's the part that I don't understand clearly.
Mm-hmm. And I'm – you know, the county exec can certainly chime in, but it's our understanding that the RFP would pilot the concept of the capitated rate, the various levels of care, also look at the concept of the 16-bed facility. And by putting the RFP out, I think we would basically identify what the parameters are. And we clearly might start out with one. There might be a couple of different options as well. We might have two. Mm-hmm. But I think the goal is to really test the concept of the capitated rate by doing the RFP mm-hmm. and, you know, also soliciting what kind of interest, looking at the cost. With one, you really don't get the opportunity to test out the various levels of care, which is another incentive for agencies. But I think initially that RFP gives you the chance to test whether the concepts in the model are fiscally appropriate, looking at the, you know, interdisciplinary team, as well as then looking at what kind of leveraging we can also do in terms of federal dollars.
So, Madam Chairwoman, if we approve this today, that approves the RFP going out. And then I'm confused about the sequence of events. RFP, and then you come back with the information from the RFP?
No, I believe we would come back with the RFP before it went out to this committee.
To tweak it. You get a chance to tweak
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yes.
And then a follow-up, and thank you, because I have, and this flow chart is very helpful, and I was just trying to understand all that. Also, when we look at that RFP, that's where we'll get the information about the federal funding. And I guess that's another thing. How does that work? When do we find out that if those 16-bed facilities, I mean, is that a guarantee that they'll definitely receive the federal funding? Or where in that process do we get that yes?
And that really depends on the population that they'll be serving. And really, the group in terms that doesn't receive federal Medicaid funding right now are individuals between the ages of 21 and 64. And that's because mental health complex is identified as an IMD. Mm-hmm. So we clearly would want to focus on that group in order to see about leveraging federal dollars. So I think there's actually two avenues for federal funding. One is the leveraging through 1959, and the other is being able to bring in Medicaid dollars for the group that currently we are not able to receive funding for and is really utilizing services on the tax levy. So clearly it would have to be within that age group. Mm-hmm. And then we would look at what would be appropriate in terms of level of care, how that facility would be licensed. And all of those, I think, are questions that we need to do a complete fiscal analysis with. And we're going to be working with Jerry Hare's office in order to do that.
My last question, Madam Chairwoman, is more for the county executive. The part that is most interesting to me that I guess I'm kind of wondering, but I also think it's very creative, is the public-private partnership that you envisioned with what would probably be the privately run facilities but with county employees. Because it's important to me that as we move towards a model that includes more private participation, which we haven't really seen, that I still want to maintain the public oversight. So could you expand just a little bit more on how that might look? So you think it'd be a private privately owned, built, and managed facility, but with county employees.
Okay. I got that from what we do right now at the county. We supervise private individuals mm-hmm. in our department. So what I want to do is also try to be beneficial to our union employees to give them an opportunity to be part of this master plan. So that what we would do is part of the RFP, we would do an inclusion of being part of the mental health plan, especially on the public side. On the private side, that may not work. It could work, mm-hmm. but clearly on the public side. What we would do is we would bring them in with their basic salary. And as new people come in, they'll be adjusted to the salary that we'll be presenting. So it'll be a gradually new employees coming in on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. This model will allow us also to put more resources into independent living, you know, where you have a family of four individuals. You will be able to have a worker to go visit. We'll be able to put additional dollars in that area also that will be charged to the federal government, at least a great percentage of it. And so that we should have extra money that is left from the standpoint of how we billing, as well as how we bill from the ITT. You got to look at it. ITT will bill more, will keep a percentage of administrative costs, and also that money will go toward taking care of our mental health people who don't have a payer source. So it is all trying to keep it all together so we don't have any conflicting or people fighting or whatever, that it can be done in an amicable kind of way. And that's what I'm trying to do.
But the county still runs the system and has the ultimate oversight.
The county will definitely run the system. Now I want to share with you that ITT keeps the county in charge. Mm-hmm. Whether it's private sector or public sector, the RFP will indicate that we have to bill for the service. We will not allow private sector or anybody to bill independent from us, so that we keep total control of the program. So we bill for everybody, and then we pay everybody. And if the money come in late, we'll make sure that those people are taken care of and get our money later. So we will be totally in control of this model. And that's why also the team to go in, that also keeps us in control, that we send a psychiatrist, psychologist, nurse practitioner, social worker, peer counselor. All those people will be going in continually monitoring the services, which keep us our foot in the door, so we'll be able to control billing and what have you, and the services.
Thank you, Mr. County Executive and Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a couple questions. One, I have a concern about 9-19-15-I to make that entitlement. Remember, I have a concern when we're going through the budget. How will this affect this whole program that once we get into that program and use those federal dollars, that will make that program an entitlement? Will that make it an entitlement?
Well, we're in the process of putting a plan together that would look at a way to mitigate the risk to the county because of the concerns regarding the entitlement. And one of the options we're exploring is to establish a risk reserve that would protect us and look at kind of reserving the 40%. So we're having discussions with the state at this point. We have a work group, and it's our intention to come back to recommend a plan to move forth. But clearly the 1915I would provide us 60% of federal funds and also provide peer support, employment, residential types of services for individuals in this community, which is a huge opportunity to receive additional services and begin to provide more community-based services and bring in that 40% in the county match. I mean, bring in the 60% in the county match, the 40%. But just as you indicate, one of the questions still is does that make this an entitlement to all individuals, and how can we, you know, make sure that the risk to the county is somewhat mitigated? And one of the ways that we do that is looking at the functional definition of who's eligible. So we're exploring all of those alternatives at this point, and we'll be coming back to this committee with a report and a recommendation about how we would implement that. So I think some of those questions that you have, you know, are still out, are still unknown, and they're things that we're exploring.
So we will be able to have the opportunity to define the eligibility and who's entitled to be within this program. If that's the case, then we don't have an entitlement. But if we don't, even though they give us 60%, and it's open up to anyone from not only, and this, my concern is not because of Milwaukee County residents, but it's open up to any resident in the state of Wisconsin. And that's a concern for me.
And we recognize that, and that's what we're trying to work on, if we can more tightly define the eligibility criteria and what kind of flexibility we have. And so we are currently working on that issue with the state, and we will have our recommendation and see what kind of flexibility we have when we report back to this committee in March.
Because you were supervisor, that's a fly in the ointment there. If we don't have the right definition, it's not a go, because you're absolutely right, and we have had some experience with that concept. Some of you might remember the GAMP program. The GAMP program initially started off when it was in a controllable situation. And then what happened is that over the period of time, we had to have 3 months residents, 6 months residents, and all the way to a year because it had got that popular. So we are very aware of that, and we know that we can only get involved in this, make sure we have a safety net, make sure that it don't become an entitlement program. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, even though you made it very clear, that's just why I'm concerned. Because of the GAMP program, we have people come here registered, then they go live in Green Bay.
That's right.
They go everywhere else. And Milwaukee County residents cannot afford any more entitlement. And also what I'm looking for, and either one of you two can answer it, you downsize on Hilltop to 16, Winnebago can't take those other beds and stuff. So where are we going to put those patients, those chronic patients that we are downsized? Because you have it right here, item number four, number two, on page five. You have chronic patients where Hilltop, that Winnebago, no one else want to take. What are we going to do with those 72 beds?
I think there's two different concepts. The issue with Hilltop is to provide alternatives to institutionalization for people that reside there.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of those individuals would be individuals that would go to Winnebago. Those are individuals that have developmental disabilities and mental health issues. And there are some resources available to support those individuals through family care, which is one of the reasons we're looking at whether it makes some sense from a cost-effective and program standpoint to look at an option to downsize Hilltop. While some of them might be in facilities that would be smaller, I think the two are very different. As we look at Hilltop, I think that's a different population as those that might be in the acute hospital setting that we're talking about for the 16 beds. So they're really kind of two different initiatives.
So they're not equal. So they're totally different.
They're totally different, yes, they are.
And
in fact, the RFP won't be just across the board. There will be different capitations and costs based on the level of services.
Okay, so another question that you didn't answer, who will own the facility? Will the private vendor own the facility, or Milwaukee County going to own the facility?
Well, it could be either one. We could own a facility and the private vendor could own the facility. I mean, if we own the facility, we have to find a way that we can have the feds to pay for it. Otherwise, we wouldn't own it. If the private vendor own it, that means they'll be able to bill for that cost as well as the cost of serving the clients.
All that's going to be in the RFP?
Well, that's all part of the RFP, yeah. That's why we're starting off slow. We're starting off with one private group and maybe another public group, and we'll go from there and learn about this model.
So are we going to use the facility we have right now and downsize that until we decide what we're going to do?
I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know. I'm thinking that we're with the private model that's brought to our attention. I think they only have their own facility.
This is very interesting. I'm glad that the other things that you took. So make this very clear. I see that you have how you feel about this. But I think the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors helped you implement this. You should get some of the County Board of Supervisors some credit, Mr. County Exec. So I would like to move approval of this item. But remember, you are very good in health and human needs, but you had another 18 other supervisors help you with some brilliant ideas in here, Mr. County Exec.
Are you talking about the GAMP program?
I'm talking about this program right here.
Supervisor helping get that. You're talking about the insurance program. Supervisor helping get that. And this program, I'm hoping that supervisor helping get that as well. I'm just a point person. That's all I am, supervisor.
Anything you say, Mr. Exec. Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Rice and then Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. Thank you both for this presentation this morning. It's been very helpful and laid out very well and helps me understand the approach, which I think in many respects makes a good deal of sense and is in fact consistent with the approach that some of us have advanced through this committee and in fact attempted to advance through the budget process last year at the time when some were preferring to go the direction of a single kind of monolithic hospital approach. So I very much am intrigued with support this kind of community-based residential 16-bed concept, both from functional and programmatic standpoint in terms of the access and the quality of care that it will provide, but equally important, the fiscal standpoint. As you pointed out, the ability to leverage the federal funding is an absolute key aspect of this thing, and one which I think led some of us to believe that going the direction of a single hospital was misguided. So I'm pleased to see that this direction has moved away from that single hospital model. My question is simply one of partnerships and whether the various advisory groups and study committees have had a chance to review this, and has there been some dialogue with those groups, and are you able to tell us whether they have taken a position in support or conceptual support of the resolution?
I've been at two major events. I don't know if you know Supervisor Rice, but I have a background in a master's degree in development disability before it was cute. I mean, it was going back in 1972. So I went with a group, I think it was about 100 of them, and many of them that I knew from going way back. And I received a great deal of hospitality. And I presented it to them, and they seemed to be very enthusiastic about it, at least conceptually. I also presented a model on the mental health grounds, and they seem to be pretty enthusiastic conceptually. Now, what's happening is that as we began to get things going, we would then give it back to them, so they will be able to review the RFP, tweak it, whatever. Then, by the time we bring it back to you, you'll have a tweak part, and you'll get a chance to tweak it. We're not in a rush. We just want to do it right the best we can. And then we'll see what we can go with and what we got.
Good. I think that makes a good deal of sense. And we've got these community advisory boards and the study committee and the health advisory council in place. And I think it makes a good deal of sense to use that advice and their expertise to get the best product. So I appreciate that, and I'm happy to be supportive of the resolution this morning.
Thank you very much.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, County Exec. It's a rare thing to see the County Exec speaking in detail on a proposal. I'm interested in in the idea of the billing going through our IT systems or going through our systems and permissibility, I guess two things. One, the permissibility of sort of the markup, and secondly, what leads us to believe that there is room there for there to be any markup, and that I've always heard that the Medicare rates were sort of low, and that's why some people don't take, you know, mm-hmm. that's why the private sector doesn't necessarily take Medicare, and so why do we believe that we'll be able to?
Okay, I think I got the if the amount is $60, mm-hmm. We're not going to pay the provider $60. We may pay the provider $45, $50. So they will have a 10% markup, although we'll be billing for $60. Now, give you an example. If you are a private vendor, you still have to pay for someone either internally or externally to do the billing for you. So that's part of your cost, is to have someone do the billing for you internally, which is a staff person or two, or do the billing externally, which is a staff person or two. So either way, you'll have to pay if you are a vendor. So then what we're doing is we're controlling the cost. Now, I'm not saying that Maumee County is not going to have to pay for some of this cost, but surely we won't be paying $200 million a year. We'll be paying far less than that. And what happened is that if the person is getting, if the entity is getting paid $45, then we might have to take and add some of that money into that department. But at least we're not adding 100% of the cost. You see, so we'll adjust it as we go. But clearly, if you're an entity, you've got to have someone to do your billing. Whether you have someone to do your billing internally, which means one or two people, and the machine costs, or you have to contract out. But what we're doing in the IRP is that you have to contract out to us. And that allows us to stay in control of it, make sure we're monitoring what's taking place and whatever, and the fact that those people will be capitated. Now, some of them, based on the level of care, will be capitated a lot higher than some that have a less level of care. So we'll be working and doing that. We're far from having it just right, but we are in the beginning of fine-tuning and getting the things going right. But we're far from it being right. But it's the beginning.
So the currently, there's nothing preventing the private sector, particularly the hospitals that are able to bill, that are not that don't run up against the 16-bed exclusion because they are attached to a normal hospital. There's nothing to prevent them already from taking these patients, and no need for them to go through us in order to get the Medicare reimbursement, right?
That's true.
So the only advantage would be with respect to smaller providers who might get some advantage in being able to tap into sort of our system of, you know, this.
Supervisor, listen, you hit on a great point. But do that not take away our responsibility for having responsibility over all mental health?
Right.
But if they come to us, which I think would be in their best interest to come to us, we are the gatekeeper of mental health services. And I think that our support system will prefer that it comes to us because they know that we're going to be monitoring them, we're going to be providing services to them, and they always have an inroad into our system to do corrective action for us. So I think that the community outward will be more happy with us than have a whole lot of private sector people out there that have no a relationship with the community. But we'll see.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting concept. I have a lot of question about it, but I mean that's I guess what we'll see in the report, and so we'll be looking for.
Well, you don't have to wait. I mean, if you got some questions and stuff, you don't have to wait. Let Jerry know about some of the concerns or whatever, because those could be
district.
The crisis question that we need that right. input on. So don't wait. Right. If you got a question, shoot it over to us, and let's see what we can do with it.
Yeah, I'll make sure to do that.
Okay.
I won't wait till end of March.
But yeah.
I guess that's. I just want to be clear that in supporting it, I it's not a wholesale endorsement of the entire thing. It's the proof. It's the endorsement of the concept, but I still need.
And that's all it is.
Concept,
and that's
so.
All it is. Basically, a good concept, but it's not totally fine-tuned yet. We're gonna need a lot of assistance and support to get it that way. But we do have the beginning of it, and I think we got a good concept.
Just a final. Are we beyond audit and internal staff? Are we? I know it's not in the resolution for us to contract with anybody, but is the department working with anybody else on establishing this, or do we have a model that somewhere else that is more similar to this? Than I've heard some of these concepts and models of other cities, but not mm-hmm. the larger HMO sort of concept you've described. I have not mm-hmm. heard that that's been a model somewhere else.
As part of some of the background work, we will be talking to other states that have similar models. In fact, Hennepin County operates some of the smaller CBRFs, as does Philadelphia. And so we are going to be consulting them, particularly as we put the request for proposal together in terms of their models, how they're licensed, how they're set up. And we've estimated, and we've known for a long time, just the Medicaid population that BHD currently serves, that we're probably leaving about $3 million of federal revenue on the table that we can't access. But I think your point well taken. You know, hospitals who operate psychiatric units within the hospitals are able to bill for Medicaid patients, and we are transferring individuals from our psychiatric hospital to those hospitals who are payer, that have revenue, and they are supporting them and serving them. In fact, last year there were about a little over 1,200 individuals that were transferred. We do have agreements with some of the private hospitals, but currently as Milwaukee County, we are not able to bill for those individuals because of our designation. That's where it would help us if we're able to move to such a model, draw down on some of that revenue that we are not now receiving.
Supervisor Mayo?
I have about one last question. Are we going to create a reserve fund for this program?
Well, the whole thing is that from ITT that I had indicated that we'll be charging more for the services and utilize that different amount as reserve to take care of our patients who don't have a billing source they don't have any insurance or any other resources that you can build. So we're trying to make sure that we're able to take care of all the patients. And that's one of the ways to do it. We may find other ways to do it as well.
But you are creating our reserve fund. So.
Oh, yeah. And as we build the federal government, we have a $200 million budget. We'll gradually go down and we'll decide on how we want to utilize that. And we'll also be able to reduce taxes for that. It's got great opportunities. Thank you.
Supervisor Dimitrievich.
One last, I guess, question or comment. I don't want, at least, I don't want anyone to think my vote of support is for this. Just because we're doing this doesn't mean we won't have a behavioral health hospital. And I don't think that the county executive is saying that either. I think what we're still trying to decide is what shape or form it might look like. So I just don't want it to be implied that because we'll have, because the thing is, these small clusters of 16 beds or so, that's just one thing that goes on in the behavioral health hospital. That's Hilltop. That's not the only thing we do out there. So,
well, one of the things is that in the model, you'll see that it don't go away.
Yeah.
It will be for if a patient is out of their meds or kind of go reserve, we'll always have a facility to adjusted meds or whatever. The size of the facility is
right.
A question. Not that facility go away. We'll always need that.
Okay, because I think some some were implying that that would be the case, and I just don't think that's the case. But I will say...
That didn't come from my lips.
Yeah, so I just wanted to be sensitive to that. But I think, you know, when we talked about the previous resolution, which was a roadmap, this is another step, and this is a big step in the right direction, and this is getting conversation going. So I'm going to support this, too.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to be clear about that, that don't think that just because we're moving forward with this great concept that it's the end of the behavioral health hospital. We still, with our special committee that's meeting almost biweekly or every 3 weeks, are deciding with this plan what will it look like.
Right. So I'd just like for you guys to kind of wait until the plan so you get a better idea what kind of model we need. That's all. But I know we're going to need a facility. The amount is the size and and what will be and how it'll look like. But we always will need it. So.
And the last thing, Madam Chairman, is if you remember when we adopted that resolution, which County Executive Holloway was a sponsor, part of that said that we would look at having these smaller facilities within the community. So this is just taking that another step.
I do have a meeting today. I'm really enthusiastic. That's why I kind of jumped in. I'm really sorry. I'm meeting today with some individuals who might be able to give us different sites all over the city.
Wow.
And I'll be letting you know as soon as I meet with them and share it with you.
Okay. And my last thing is, as I said earlier in my earlier comments, I just want to make sure that as we proceed, even with enhancing our public-private partnership, that in the end, Milwaukee County has the final accountability and oversight. Mm-hmm. That's extremely important to me. So.
You know me. You know I'm about that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, you
okay. While we are on somewhat kind of the vision of BHD, I'd like to just take a short opportunity to announce that we have finally identified someone as the BHD administrator. For some of you know that we've been working on our recruitment issues for a number of months. And I would just like to introduce you. The county exec is going to be appointing him as the behavioral division administrator. Mr. Thomas has over 35 years of experience in the behavioral health area. In fact, he previously, some 20 years ago, was the mental health coordinator here in Milwaukee County when the mental health resources were separated from behavioral health. They were part of the combined community services board in terms of their community services hat, and those dollars were then transferred to the behavioral health division for mental health resources. He has spent the last 20 years in New York. He has worked at a variety of mental health facilities and several different capacities as mental health administrator within large hospital systems, which include inpatient, outpatient services. He's also operated a psychiatric emergency room. He's developed a number of community-based programs there, and I think that, you know, I'm very excited about the partnership and to finally be able to recommend to the county executive and, of course, introduce to Health and Human Needs. His appointment, of course, will be pending full confirmation by the board. But he is here this morning, and I would just like to introduce to the committee Mr. Michael Thomas.
So would you
stand? This is Mr. Thomas. And we are hoping that the county exec will make the appointment and that he would be available to join us sometime in early February. And from that point, then we would move forth within 6 months for confirmation from the board. Would you the committee like to address him, or would you like to make any comments?
No, I just think that I'm happy to...
I'm really sorry, but this wasn't noticed as being an item. So
okay.
If we could just keep it where it is right now.
That's fine.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. And you'll be back before us in February, I'm assuming, for your appointment. But I just want to make sure that we're following the guidelines.
That's
that
fine.
That we're supposed to be. So I apologize, but we will definitely hear more from you, I'm sure,
no
in
problem.
February.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the last thing we need. Okay. Are you ready for